Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we do indeed thank you for all that you're doing through this church, in this town, and in this nation. But Lord, we know that there is still more to come. But today, this morning, Lord, as your word goes forth, I ask and believe that every man, every woman, and every child under the sound of my voice will leave this place different to the way they came in. Lord, I ask that minds will be renewed, that souls will be refreshed, that hearts will be transformed. Oh Lord, we ask you, we invite you to have your way in this place. And a faith-filled Apex Church said, amen. Amen and amen. I do get a little bit loud, I just warn you. I want to talk to you this morning on a message titled, I Will Worship. I Will Worship. I wonder, what do you think about when you hear the word worship? If you have been in church for a little while, you may think that worship is just some of the songs we sing before the preacher gets up to speak. It may be a word that you only associate with religion. Perhaps you've never even thought about it. But what is worship? Well, worship means to admire, to celebrate, and to love something or someone very much. True worship comes from the heart. Now, you may say, Luke, I don't worship anything. But if I checked your schedule, looked at your phone, asked your friends what you spend your money on, my findings may tell me something different. What you worship, you give your time to. Now, if you spent a week with me, it wouldn't take you long to figure out that I really like football. Of course, I love Jesus, and I love my wife, and I love my little girl, Lila. But I also have a great love for the best football team in the world. Watford FC. Oh, come on, there's no need for the laughter in here. Neil told me you were a good group of people. Any Watford fans? No one? Well, okay. I've been told you all support Rangers up here. Oh, come on, a few boos. Any Aberdeen fans? Any Peterhead fans? You know, if you meet me at the back after the service, I'll pray you get a new team, hey? How's that? But I love Watford, and I know all their news, I know all the players' names, I buy the replica shirt, I even go to the stadium sometimes, and if we win, you may see me singing a little bit and dancing a little bit. Now, I wouldn't say I worship them, but if you ask my wife, she may tell you something different. We can all worship things without realizing. And perhaps you're similar to me, and it's your football team. Maybe it's your favorite band. Perhaps you have a particular admiration or a secret crush on that actor or that actress. But let's get real for a moment. Maybe money is what you worship. Your career is what you worship. Do you idolize certain people? Are you obsessed with the pursuit of fame? Perhaps it is yourself who you worship, your body, your intellect, your ministry, the material possessions that you own, like the car you drive, or the motorbike you ride, or the house you live in. Maybe it is your shoe collection, or your games consoles, or your social media accounts. Some of you are smiling. What is it that you worship. Now, there is nothing wrong with any of the examples I have just mentioned, providing they have not taken the place of God in your heart. It is good to have hobbies, aspirations, and dreams. It is good to work hard and invest your finances wisely and spend time with people that are smarter than you. Just make sure that God remains first place in your life. Oh, I know today that following Jesus might not be the cool thing to do. And you may not see the instantaneous results that you want to see. And it may not be a popular choice within your family and your friends. But when you learn to seek God first, when you give Him all the glory that He deserves, when you worship God, the Bible says that everything else will be added unto you. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. This means that when you adore Him, when you enjoy Him, when you honor Him, when you value Him by giving your whole life to Him, then God has a habit of showing up in your life. Do you know that answers arrive when you worship? Healing happens when you worship. Powerful relationships are formed when you worship. Dreams are birthed in worship. Oh, are there any worshipers in church this morning? Worship time isn't a wasted time. Worship is not something we do once or twice a week in church. Worship is not about ticking off our checklist. It is a lifestyle, a habit, an attitude of the heart. It is who we are. And for some of you this year, this decade, you need to start changing what you worship. You have been looking at the wrong stuff for too long now, and there needs to be a shift in your thinking, an adjustment in your focus, a transformation in the area of your worship. Do you know the Bible? The Bible encourages us to have His praise continually on our lips. Not because God needs your worship. God doesn't need your worship. The happiness of God's day is not defined by whether you worship Him or not. He is not up there in heaven looking at His watch, hoping that any second now Pastor Neil is going to like his Facebook page or comment on how good his Instagram account is looking. No, God knows how good He is. Scripture tells us that all creation worships God without your help. Psalm 19 verse 1 says that the heavens declares the glory of God and the skies proclaim the work of His hands. Psalm 96 tells us that the sea resounds and everything in it, that all the trees of all the forests sing for joy at the sound of His name. He doesn't need your worship. He wants it. He wants your worship. He desires your worship. He wants your worship so that as you begin to press into Him and lift His name high, then God can begin to stir that what is unique to you, those promises for your life, those dreams for your life. Oh, friend, if only you knew the power of your worship. There is power in worship. My assignment this morning comes from a well-known passage of text in Acts chapter 16. And it is about two men, two boys who knew how to worship. I haven't got time to read the whole story, but let me summarize to you what is going on, and then we'll pick out some things here that's going to help you with your worship. Paul and Silas of followers of Christ. And the story begins that they get up in the morning and they make their way to a temple to pray. Now, As they were going on their way to this temple, they are confronted by a woman with an evil spirit. This woman made a lot of money for herself and her owners because she had something about her that could predict the future. Now, Paul becomes so troubled by this woman's actions that he casts this evil spirit out of the woman. Now, this woman's owners are now so angry, they are infuriated that their chances of making money has gone. They have Paul and Silas arrested, stripped, beaten, and thrown into a prison where their feet are chained to the wall. But now I want to pick up and read to you what happens next in the story. And they're going to put it up on the big Peterhead Bible. How many people like a big Bible? How many people brought their Bible? Some of you, it's okay, don't worry. I'll pray for you later. It says this, Acts chapter 16, verse 25. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, just underline that. Whenever there is a suddenly in the Bible, it means something is about to happen. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought all the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Do not harm yourself. We are all still here." And we see that as that story goes on, as a result of the worship and faith of Paul and Silas, this jailer and his entire family give their hearts to Jesus Christ. And so out of this text, I want to give you three keys, three reasons why you need to be a worshiper. Is that okay? Are you still with me? Wonderful. Number one is this, why you need to worship. Worship connects us to the presence of God. Worship connects us to the presence of God. Despite these guys doing the right thing by getting up in the morning and heading down to their local temple to pray, and where they are confronted by a woman with an evil spirit and setting her free, they find themselves being beaten black and blue, covered in blood, and thrown inside a maximum security jail. All because they were doing God's work. I mean, if anyone had the right to feel like God had abandoned them, the right to be angry at God, the right to be confused at the situation and predicament that they now find themselves in, it was Paul and Silas. I mean, I doubt they would have thought that praying in the morning would have landed them in prison in the evening. But instead of complaining to God, instead of feeling sorry for themselves, they start to worship God. They start to pray and sing hymns. They put a new song inside of their mouth, for they understood that worship takes your eyes off of yourself and on to our God. Do you know this amazing band that were up here at the start of the service? They are not up here to look good. They are not just up here to sing. They are not just up here to give us some sort of performance. They are here to lead us in worship so that no matter what your week has looked like, you can walk through these doors on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night and you can get your eyes off of yourself and off of the circumstances that you find yourself in and place them on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Worship magnifies God over your problems. Worship reminds us just how loving he is, how powerful he is, how forgiving he is, that he is the great God, how sovereign he is, that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, it is so easy though. It is so easy to worship God when you're on the mountaintop. So easy. I'm going to talk about valleys and mountains tonight. But the real test of faith, the real test of your faith is whether you can worship God when you find yourself in a prison, when you can't see God, when those doors do not open, when you find yourself stuck in a place or in a cycle where there seems to be no way out. This is exactly what Paul and Silas did. In April 2015, my wife was pregnant and we were expecting our first child, a little girl that we had named Elle. It had been a miracle that we had even conceived. It was full term. It was the full 9 months, and we went into hospital. But when my wife gave birth to our baby, she was born without a beating heart. There was no breath in her lungs, not a blemish on her body. Her death was recorded as unexplained. 3 days. 3 days I held my little girl, believing that God would bring her back to life, believing that she would just open her eyes so that I could see her. But it didn't happen. It made no sense to me why he couldn't raise her from the dead. I had nothing to say to God. I was angry. I was hurt. I found myself in a prison of pain. But slowly, after 1 month of ignoring God, despite the agony I was in, and my wife too, I made a decision to open up his word again and slowly start to worship him. Do you know, a Christian, when passing through a storm, not reading their Bible, it's a dangerous place to be. In fact, I would say this, a Christian passing through a storm and not reading their Bible is like riding a bicycle on the edge of a cliff with no lights on. I remember reading on the morning of her funeral, and there were many, many people that came, and I knew I wanted to speak that day, and I hadn't spoken to God for a month. And I remember opening up his word that morning, knowing that I had to give the best sermon of my life. And I turned to Psalm chapter 30, verse 5, and it said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy shall cometh in the morning. I turned to Isaiah 61, and it read, God will comfort all who mourn. He will place on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Does it still hurt? Yes, it does. Has my life changed forever? Yes, it has. But worshiping God when I couldn't see him, hear him, or feel him, got my eyes off my heart, off of myself, and back onto the way maker, the promise keeper, the miracle worker. Oh, give him a shout of praise if you believe it this morning. He's a good God. And today, for some of you, I know your heart's racing right now. You might be today inside a prison of pain. You may look confused. Your life might not make sense right now. The finances have dried up. The business is struggling. That addiction will not break. Your healing hasn't yet come. There does not seem to be a way forward. It looks like your situation will never change. Well, can I encourage you, friend, to worship God again? Because when you start worshiping, the atmosphere changes. Strength begins to rise. rise, hope is ignited, faith is renewed, strongholds are loosened, walls start coming down, the devil starts running when you open your mouth in worship, because your worship is a weapon. It is a weapon. It is a weapon. And for some of you today, you don't need another strategy. You don't need another dream. You don't need another associate. You need a bit more of his presence. You need a bit more worship. God can do a lot with a little. God can do a lot with a little. Some of you need to start worshiping your ways out of your worries and praising your way out of your problems. For my God is not lacking. He is not limited. He is waiting on your worship. Oh, God will always rescue a worshiper. Turn to your neighbor and say, you better start worshiping. Now turn to your least favorite neighbor. And say, you better start worshiping too. So, some of you husbands are in trouble when you get home. Oh, I'm glad I'm not around your dinner table this afternoon. You turned the wrong way first. Oh dear. The second reason why you need to be a worshiper is this. Number two is that worship connects us to his purpose. Worship connects us to his purpose. The Bible makes it clear that everyone was created to worship. Psalm 100 says that we are to worship God with gladness. It is he who made us and we are his. Psalm 95 says, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. Do you know, we can worship God through our words, in our thoughts, and by our actions. Jesus actually said in John chapter 4 that we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. For those are the kind of worshipers that our Father in heaven seeks. The more you worship, the more you get to know the heart of your Creator. The more you get to know the heart of your Creator, the more you experience His love. The more you experience His love, the more you start to understand the plan and purpose that God has mapped out for your life. And I love how Paul and Silas had a revelation of this truth. That just because they were in prison did not mean that their heart was imprisoned. That just because their bodies were shackled did not mean that their spirits had to be shackled. That just because every single person inside that prison cell had lost hope didn't mean that they had to stop believing in their Creator. They were worshippers, and they knew that if they could lift the name of their Father high, if they could exalt His name, then God would show up and start fighting their battles for them. Now, there was a man in the Old Testament who experienced this exact same thing. And his name was Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was king over Judah. And one day the Bible says that the Moabites, and the Meunites came to attack him and his people. They had a vast army, and it would take a miracle to stop them. And some of you know exactly how that feels like. You've got problems on your left, disappointment on your right, mountains that stand before you, which you have no idea how to conquer. Well, Jehoshaphat was in the same situation, and he goes to God, he prays to God, and he asks God to give him an answer, to show him how he was going to win this battle. And here was God's response. I want you to appoint some people. I want you to go out on the front line, and I want you to worship me. What a strange battle plan. Here is this nasty, ferocious, large army charging you down, and the plan is to go out there, take up my position, and start lifting my voice. Yeah, that's what I want you to do. You don't need any physical weapons, just an orchestra of worship, a chorus of songs, a united anthem, for your battle belongs to the Lord. Oh, there is something powerful about corporate worship. Something powerful when men and women unite together to proclaim the goodness of God. And in the account of Paul and Silas, we see just that. It doesn't say that while Paul was worshiping, Silas was sleeping. It says that they were worshiping together. It says that they were encouraging other to keep the faith, to keep smiling, to keep a good attitude despite what was coming against them. I can just imagine them in this cold, dark, damp prison cell, battered, blooded, and bruised, but talking to each other about their favorite worship songs. I can imagine Paul leaning over to Silas and saying, "Hey, Silas, I know which one we should sing." And it goes like this. "You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am." And then Silas goes, No, Paul, you've got it all wrong. I've got the exact song that we need to sing. And it goes like this. "There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Right, come on, sing it with me. "There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Thank God I'm not in the worship team, eh? But no wonder the Bible says that every other prisoner, all the other prisoners were listening. Not some, all of them. Why? Because all they have ever heard inside of that dungeon is the moaning and groaning of pain, the tears of regret, the sound of suffering at the thought of never getting outside of those four walls. And now here are two men with an undeniable passion in their voice, an undescribable joy in their heart, a united spirit, uniting together and opening up their voice and their mouth and giving it all their God. Oh, Paul and Silas were not humming their hymns. They were not whispering their worship. They were boldly declaring the word of the Lord, that Jesus Christ died on a cross and rose again to save us from our sins, to forgive us from our sins, to wash us clean from our sins. They were singing that there is power in the name of Jesus. And the moment they sung those songs, everyone's chains came loose. Everyone's chains, the old and the young, the sinner and the saved, all were set free through the worship of two people. That is why it is important that you come to church every weekend. That is why it is important that you plant yourself in the house of God, because corporate worship does something in you that you cannot experience on your own. Oh, our collective worship reminds us that something is going to happen in this place today, that God is going to move in your situation, because my Bible says that when two or more gather together, then here he is in our midst, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. Oh, some of you are glad you came this morning. You weren't worshiping earlier. You weren't even opening your mouth. But just because you're here means you can experience your breakthrough. That's the power of corporate worship. Oh, give God a shout of praise right now. My third and final point is this. Is this making sense? Can you understand my accent? My vocal cords are a little bit confused. Number three, worship connects us to his power. It connects us to his presence. It connects us to his purpose. And it connects us to his power. Acts chapter 16, verse 26 said this. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Wow. That sounds like church to me. Here are these wounded men worshiping God with all their hearts when suddenly the foundations of that prison start to shake and everyone's chains came loose. Wait a minute. Did you notice how precise God is? A violent earthquake where only the chains came loose. I mean, me personally, I have never experienced a violent earthquake, but I have seen the devastation and the destruction that they can cause on the TV. So how is it that the foundations of that prison can be shaken so strongly, but yet the ceiling doesn't come down and the walls do not cave in? Just think. If the God we served was a clumsy God, he said, whoops, sorry, Paul. I didn't mean to use so much power there. I didn't mean for the walls to come down on you. You won't be getting out of prison tonight. Just think if the God you knew was an uncertain God. And he said, hey, Silas, I've managed to free one of your feet from the wall. But I don't know how to do the other one. No. My God is a precise God. He is an accurate God. He is an exact God. Look at the beauty and precision of creation. Did you know that the earth is tilted at a perfect 23.4 degrees? This allows us to experience all the different seasons we encounter throughout the year. Without that precise tilt, all of humanity would suffer. Did you know that we live the perfect distance away from the sun? Any closer and we would all melt. Any further away and we would all freeze. Did you know that because the earth spins at 1,000 miles per hour, we get gravity? Without that, we would all be floating around in space. I look at the birds of the sky, the fish of the sea, the animals of the land, how they move, how they eat, how they reproduce. From the whale down to the goldfish, from the giraffe down to the ant, from the eagle down to the sparrow. God is into details. And the same God that designed this planet and the complexities of our solar system is the same God who designed you. You are a unique piece of craftsmanship, handmade in the image of God. He knitted and formed you together inside of your mother's womb. You are not an accident. You are not a mistake. You have been fearfully and wonderfully made. There will never be another one of you. So don't you dare, from the youngest to the very oldest, don't you dare think that God has finished with you. Don't you dare think that God has given up on you. He knows exactly who you are. He knows what doors to open in your life and what doors to close. God knows when to elevate you and when to hide you. God knows when to show up, step in, and pull you out of your prison. Why? Because His timing is perfect and His power is precise. Is precise. If you don't believe me, I want to show you one more thing, and then I'm finished, I promise. If I don't have a finish, I preach all day. Then Pastor Neil will never have me back. Perhaps the rest of the band can come forward. Okay, stay watching me. I know they're better looking, but stay watching, stay focused. This miracle happened at midnight. Midnight is the darkest point of the night. It is also a significant time on the clock, as it is the transition period from one day to the next. It is the moment in time when the date changes. Midnight marks the end of one day and the beginning of another. When the clock strikes 12, yesterday has gone and a new day has arrived. It seemed like Paul and Silas' day was done. It appeared like God had forgotten about them. But friend, when you learn to worship God, when you cannot see God, when you can worship God in your wilderness, when you can worship God, when those prison walls are not coming down, then God has a habit of showing up in your darkest hour. Oh, come on, somebody. In your darkest hour. So don't get bitter. Come on, band, let's get ready to go. Don't get bitter or caught up about who did you wrong or complaining that your life is unfair. Your prison is not permanent. Where you are today is not where you've designed to be forever. It is temporary. It is temporary. But you need to play your part by starting to worship again. Why? Because things happen when you worship. Answers arrive when you worship. Heaven invades earth when you worship. God's power is released when you worship. Chains are broken when you worship. Doors start to open when you worship. Mountains move when you worship. Oh, I believe that for some of you, that your midnight hour has come. Today is your day. It's time for a new start, a new beginning. There is a new chapter on the horizon, but you need to decide that I am going to be a worshiper, because when I worship, it connects me to His presence, it connects me to His purpose, and it connects me to His power in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to give you an opportunity to make your peace with God, to invite Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of your heart. And so right now, I would like every head bowed and every eye closed. No one leave the building. Christians in prayer. I'm not going to embarrass you or call you to the front. This isn't about me and you. This is about you and God. The Bible says that God sent His Son, His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for your sin and my sin on a cross. He took your sin, your shame, your guilt, your past, your present, your future. Jesus took it to the grave. But 3 days later, the Bible also declares that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And in doing so, He smashed through the chains of sin. He broke through the bonds of death. and He made a way. He made a way for you and I to be forgiven, to be loved and accepted. Oh friend, Jesus loves you. And this morning you can receive His love. You can receive this gift of salvation. You cannot buy it. You cannot earn it. You cannot work for it. But today, if you repent of your sins, which simply means say sorry to God and turn towards Him, then Jesus Christ will come alive in you and you will never be the same again. If I'm talking to you this morning, I'm going to count to three. And on three, if that's you, I just want you to lift your hands. I can see hands going up already, but on three, okay? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you've never made this decision before. Perhaps it's the first time you've ever come to church, but you know that God is stirring something in your heart. Or perhaps once upon a time, you had said yes to Jesus, but you know you're stuck in a prison, you've backslidden, and you're not living the life that Christ has called you to live. I'm talking to you too. So if that's you on three, I just want you to lift your hands. Here we go, Christians in prayer. One, two, thank you, three, thank you, thank you, thank you, sir. I see that hand too. Wonderful. Keep them raised. There's several of you, that's good. Would anyone else join these people? That's great. Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay, you can put your hands down. As I said, I'm going to lead you through a simple prayer of faith. And I want every single person to pray this prayer after me, even if you didn't raise your hands this morning. But I want us to pray as a church family. So come on, church, let's pray. Dear God, come on, we can do better than that. Dear God, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Today I ask you to come into my heart and to forgive me from my sins. I ask you, Lord, to help me as I follow you and make your name known all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Come on, let's give those people and our God a round of applause. Come on, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.